This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Talk about some places that might be good for you to travel to in 2021. Also, GM stepping up its defense business right now. Congress finally passes a pandemic relief package, while today's data led by the report of sales of existing homes. Bob Bruska is here, Chief Economist at Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Bob, for months now, we've been hearing about a stimulus package, and we finally have one. Is this what economists were hoping for?
Well, no. It's more like the gift that you'd put in your stocking rather than wrap up under the Christmas tree. This is better thought of as a support program than a stimulus program. I don't think there's a lot of stimulus here right now, but we do need support, and we need a lot of it. We may need more than is really available in this bill. The problem is that policymakers have the authority to do the things they're doing, but they don't take the responsibility for the fallout. Republicans have been against having the economy shut down. The Democrats have thought, well, it doesn't matter. We can always have a stimulus program. I think the reality is that the economy is a very complicated thing, and put your politics aside. The fact of the matter is when you start closing the economy down, there are all kinds of ramifications, and it's really impossible for government to put this back any more than you can drop an egg in your kitchen and glue the shell back together. So, this is going to help some people. It's not going to help everybody. There's a lot of unfairness. Businesses are gone. People are out of their work. Careers are being destroyed. Education is being interrupted. And you can be sure that this package isn't going to put all that back together.
Now, is one of the reasons for that, I'm not talking about getting into sort of the minds of the people in Congress or anything, but I'm wondering, we do have President-elect Biden saying this is just the beginning. He wants more stimulus. And so that makes me wonder if maybe some of those other things that economists want might be in a bill that is passed in a matter of weeks when he takes office.
Well, it might need a bill that he'll try to propose in a matter of weeks. But whether it passes or not, well, we can take bets on that.
Yeah, he doesn't just snap his fingers and have it happen, huh? So what would you like to see that was not in the bill?
Well, I would like to see more support for people who are displaced. For example, we have a rent moratorium, a mortgage moratorium for people who are thrown out of work. Well, how does that help these people? If you don't have a job and if you're able temporarily not to pay your rent, what happens when they flip that switch and turn your rent back on? Your landlord's going to want all the back rent. Who's going to come up with that? I mean, if you've been living on a tight budget, how are you going to make up for 5 or 8 months of rent that you haven't paid that now is going to be added in some fashion on top of the rent you've been paying? Now, if government is responsible for shutting this down, government should pay for that. I mean, this is the cost of the environment. If you're government, and if you really think you need to shut the economy down, then you need to pay for shutting the economy down. You need to make these people whole. You can't just, say, oh, we're going to give you a temporary hiatus on your rent and then have the big bill come due later on and shrug your shoulders when they still might not have a job. And even if they do, they might have the same job they had at the same pay. How are they going to handle that? I think this is just crazy. I think it's absolutely crazy. I think that the CDC goes around making these edicts. And again, you have authority and you have responsibility. There are plenty of people with authority. There's almost no one in government with responsibility.
Thanks so much. Really good stuff. Always good to have Bob Bruska on the show, Chief Economist at Fact and Opinion Economics. Just ahead, Chicago-based Boeing scores a big order later on in the show, about 12:39. It's Travel Tuesday. We'll talk about some places that may be worth visiting in 2021, even as the pandemic drags on. Alaska Airlines ordering 23 737 MAX jets from Chicago-based Boeing. It's leasing more than a dozen others. Let's talk about it. Ken Goldstein is here, President of of KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Ken, it's good to have you with us. How important is it for Boeing to get this order? There have been other orders as well, but to get these orders rolling again.
Well, it's important. First off, thank you, Cisco, for having me on. I think it's important in light of two things that have occurred. One, about 3 weeks ago, Ryanair, the low-cost European carrier, ordered a whole slew of Boeing 737, 75 of them, as a matter of fact. And, of course, Alaska now is ordering the 68 of them, and 23 are from Boeing, and they're going to lease 13 others. What's significant also is the fact that they are taking a bunch of so-called whitetails. Those are planes that have been built but don't have an owner. So Alaska is going to take 9 of those. What really is major significance? Well, it's good for Boeing. The fact of the matter is you've got Alaska, which had merged with or taken over Virgin America, which was an Airbus fleet. They're now getting rid of all those Airbus aircraft, and they're standardizing, which is what they were before Virgin, on the 737, just like Ryanair, which focuses on the 737, just like Southwest. So what you're seeing is that an airline that is predominantly in one aircraft type wants to stay there, and they're expanding it.
Yeah, what is it about this aircraft? I mean, passengers probably don't even realize it. What is it about this aircraft that has made it so popular and is making airlines so quickly go back to it?
Well, you got to remember, back in 2019, pre-pandemic and everything else, this was the aircraft that was selling like hotcakes. They had 5,000 orders for this aircraft, just a 737 MAX. They redesigned it, made it much more fuel efficient, can carry more passengers over a longer distance. And the key here is for the airlines to, I hate to say this, but get as many people into an airplane, fly it as long as you can, and go with it. And the 737, pre the crashes, was the aircraft where they probably ran into a problem, and that's a whole different other discussion that we've talked about in the past, was the software upgrades that they had put in there, the MCAS, about takeoff and things like this. But again, what Boeing has done here is they're regrouping, they're hitting on the carriers that fly their one main aircraft, which is a Boeing 737, and capitalizing on it.
Is Boeing still concerned, and maybe the airlines too, that passengers will not want to fly this aircraft? Or are they assuming most people, I mean, you get your ticket, you get on the plane, and you don't even know what you're flying on?
Well, most people don't know, and most people really don't care. I mean, the best example is you're not necessarily supposed to fly and supposed to have a mask on when you fly, but people are flying without masks and having all types of problems that you hear about with the United flight between Orlando and San Francisco, flight between Europe and New Zealand, where they tested them beforehand, and they got off the plane and there was COVID. Long and short is people really aren't necessarily worry. What they are concerned about is getting to a place, finding a cheap ticket, and having a relatively decent flight with a carrier. And that's what they're looking at, I think.
Thanks so much, Ken Goldstein, president of KJG International Consulting. Boeing stock today up just a tick, about 0.25% at $219.80 per share. Up next, the restaurant industry in Illinois says the federal pandemic relief bill is a start, but more help is needed.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A reminder, a podcast of the Noon Business Hour, always available on our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. The restaurant industry is reacting to the latest pandemic stimulus package passed by Congress. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality here in Chicago. All right, Doug, what is the restaurant industry think about what they are getting and maybe even not getting in this deal?
Hi, Cisco. We are getting mixed reactions right now. Of the $284 billion is for the PPP. And at this point, restaurants would be given an enhanced access to those funds. But it's still not enough. And what we're seeing at this point are a lot of restaurants that are at a point, in fact, almost 58%, that are claiming in the next 6 months they may not be here.
Pretty significant. And, I mean, when it comes to this particular package, I mean, is it necessarily going to keep them around beyond that?
It's not enough. There has to be additional federal relief. And what they are looking for at this point is at least $120 billion from a Restaurant Act that was not included in the $900 billion. So there is the need for additional legislation for restaurants in order to really be able to weather the storm. And the storm is quite severe, as we know.
So as far as these restaurants are concerned, I mean, because there's going to be another package, maybe it'll be too late for some restaurants, but there will be another package that's proposed probably in January after Joe Biden takes office. I mean, what would they like to see? What would help them stay afloat for at least the next several months?
Well, there is a need at this point for that $120 billion, but I think what they really need at this juncture is for local municipalities, Chicago being one of them, to really clearly look at what would it take to bring guests back into the restaurant. And again, we've had discussions about it before. The real issue at this point is there is safety in indoor dining, but you have to do certain things at this point to make sure that that occurs. And that is a proper ventilation system, making sure that you get air in and out of the restaurant at least six times an hour. The windows are open. Fresh air is abundant, but it is something at this point that is not nearly as dangerous in some cases in some of the outdoor facilities that are being offered right now.
Really good insight. Thanks so much, Doug Roth, founder and president at Playground Hospitality here in Chicago. A lot of restaurants already closed and a lot really just on the bubble, just hoping to make it through the pandemic. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, looking ahead to a return to normal through the gift of travel.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A new strain of COVID-19 forces Great Britain to impose a Christmas lockdown. Americans who qualify will be getting direct stimulus payments in the coming weeks. Travel Tuesday, giving the gift of adventure in anticipation of a return to more normal travel. General Motors is looking at a potential windfall from military contracts. WBBM Business, the Dow down 81, NASDAQ is up 49, and the S&P is down 1 point. Oil is down 2%. A mix of sun and clouds in Chicagoland as we head to a high of 43 degrees. Right now, it's 38 degrees. Oxford Street in London, the busiest shopping district in Europe, is empty today. A mutated version of the coronavirus has been discovered in the UK, prompting a shutdown. CBS's Holly Williams.
Christmas has effectively been cancelled in London, with most shops closed and mixing between households banned. The British government says the country's entered its worst recession in 300 years.
Are you worried about the new variant of the virus?
Yeah, I am. I think it's really serious and something that everyone should bear in mind when they go out.
You've got to prioritise people's health over Christmas. Christmas is a day in the year, and people's lives are at stake.
The new strain of COVID-19 has 17 different mutations, including some to the spike protein, which functions as a key unlocking the doorway to the body's cells.
Other countries in Europe have banned travel to and from Great Britain. The White House says the COVID relief bill that Congress has sent to the president would have direct payments going out to Americans starting next week.
The payments will first be pushed to those who've given the IRS their direct deposit account information. The $600 disbursements, with an extra $600 for each dependent child, will phase out for individuals who reported making more than $75,000. If you recently reported more than $87,000 in income, $174,000 for couples, you should not expect a check. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are mixed. The Dow down 86. NASDAQ is up 49, and the S&P is down 1 point. Oil today is down 2%. Let's see what's going on. Jim Welsh is here, macro strategist and portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios based in San Diego. Jim, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, first and foremost, Cisco, I want to wish you and all the listeners a merry and healthy Christmas. And, you know, to my old hometown, I wish everyone the best. In terms of what's going on, I think we're getting set up for a correction in the market, Cisco. I think the virus has the potential of really becoming a serious problem. The virus that they found in England, I think, has already spread to much of Europe, will have spread into the U.S., and it just means that we're going to see, I think, over the next 2 to 4 weeks, more hospitalizations, and I think that's going to prove, necessary to see more restrictions and, you know, shutdown of the U.S. economy. And I think the market will finally pay attention if it reaches a breaking point.
Yeah, the shutdown in the U.K. is pretty serious. I mean, they're basically back to the beginning of the pandemic with their shutdown. If that were to happen here, economic catastrophe.
Well, you know, if people have been able to look past this because, oh, we had the vaccines coming, we've got the stimulus from Congress and all the rest of that. But hospitalizations nationwide are at ICU bed capacities at 75%. That was as a few days ago. So it won't take much more, especially if there's a spread due to Christmas. More people, even though things are going to be scaled back this year, more people will travel this Christmas than travel this past Thanksgiving. And we've seen the effects of that. So I think, Cisco, we're going to see a problem as we go into the first part of January. I think we will see more restrictions. And then it's just a question of, are investors going to continue to ignore all this and just focus? The coup de grace could be if we see any bumps in the road with regard to the vaccine in terms of reactions, delivery, production, and so forth. So I think the market is poised for a pullback anywhere from 5 to 10% over the next 2 to 4 weeks.
And as far as some of the sectors that were really sensitive to the pandemic, I'm thinking especially some of those travel stocks, as some people got in thinking, oh, get a vaccine, maybe people start cruising again, staying in hotels again. But if there's a second wave, that could be challenging. It seems like a rough time to try to gamble there.
Yeah, I think you used the right word, gamble, because there's still a lot of unknowns. Whether or not, I mean, polls show 35 to 40% of the people in the United States don't want to get the vaccine. So them getting the vaccine is going to be critical. Antibodies, do they last for 3 months, 6 months, or 2 years? That's critical, because if they only last less than a year, that means you can get this thing potentially again, maybe a different form, just like the flu. So to me, there's a lot of unanswered questions. The assumption is everything's going to go smoothly, and I'm not sure the magnitude of what we're trying to accomplish in such a short period of time, I think, is going to be challenging. So I think the market is pricing in kind of perfection, and which I think leaves it vulnerable after the big run we've seen in a lot of different sectors, as you just pointed out.
So what should investors do then? I mean, is it a more defensive portfolio?
No, I mean, again, my bias here is that we have a sharp, quick shakeout that could, you know, it could be 10% or so. But my guess is that as we get that passed, we're going to see the market recover again. Technical indicators like the advanced decline line, percentage of stocks above their 200-day average, have been really, really strong and healthy. Normally, you see warning signs, Cisco, prior to a more significant decline, where those indicators start to show weakness. That hasn't happened yet. So I'm going to be constructive. Yeah, we may see a 10% pullback. My assumption is that will be followed by a move that will carry the S&P to 4,000 and potentially higher in the first half of next year.
Thanks so much, Jim Welsh of Smart Portfolios. You can find him online at macrotides.com. Up next, Travel Tuesday, giving the gift of travel this holiday season.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. Today we're looking at holiday gifts for the traveler in your life. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors, based in Scottsdale. Her website, travelbta.com. Angie, first off, before we get into some of these destinations, a lot of people just aren't even sure whether it's safe to travel, whether they should travel, whether there are any sort of deals out there or anything in the midst of the pandemic. I mean, what do you say to people who are on the fence about even planning any kind of travel over the next few months?
Right. I think a lot of people are halting travel over the holiday season, just with spikes in the COVID cases. But that doesn't preclude us from giving the gift of travel, because that travel could be packaged. Someone who wants to give a trip to Tuscany can give their significant other a bottle of wine. If a family wants to plan a trip to Patagonia, they can package up hiking gear for all the family members. And that trip can then be planned for a future date.
And there are some places, and we'll talk about that here, there are some places where you can go, and yeah, you have to be in an airport, you have to be on a plane, but by the time you get there, you're not exactly going to be all cooped up with a bunch of other people.
Right. For U.S. travelers right now that want to travel over the next couple of months, Mexico is very popular. while there's great protocol in place for cleanliness, they are not requiring COVID tests. And when you get on property, the occupancy levels are so low that there is that ability to feel like as though you can social distance.
What if you want to go ahead and leave the country but not go to Mexico? You're looking for somewhere else. Any other good destinations?
Especially for those on the East Coast, and I would put Chicago in there, there's a lot of opportunities for the Caribbean. We're seeing families plan for the Bahamas. We're seeing families plan for the Turks and Caicos. Those are places that have wide open beaches. And you can, right now, for example, we have quite a few clients who are planning for gifts for the holidays to give experiences for spring travel. So we have a family that's doing a trip to Bahamas, and they'll be traveling during peak season. They're going to spend half their time at the Atlantis and half their time at the Bahamar just to kind of experience two different things in the same destination. And they were able to plan that trip for four travelers for a week during peak season for around $5,000, and that includes airfare. So I think that's a great deal, especially for traveling over peak season.
Now, the UK pretty much shut down. What about Europe? Is Europe at all a destination to consider, or is that just so far off that they don't even plan it right now?
Right. You know, Europe is so close to my heart, and that is one of the destinations where our agency specializes in European itineraries. And we have a lot of people interested. There's pent-up demand to get back to Europe. A lot of European trips were canceled last year. And I think we're really, with the positive news with the vaccine reaching our essential workers right now, it won't be too long before travelers will have the vaccine as well. So Europe trips right now, we are planning from the standpoint of booking air and hotels for quite a few clients. And we're kind of just waiting to plan the rest of their itinerary, the activities, simply to determine if those dates will be, in fact, a go. Some of those dates are in April and May. But I do think once there's a vaccine readily available, I think European travel will be quite busy in the latter half of 2021.
Does it make sense at all to, I don't know, maybe give a pre-gift or something like that? Because if you're saying, hey, we're going to travel 6 months from now, well, that's not as exciting under the tree.
Believe it or not, Cisco, I have more clients booking or giving the gift of travel, but not necessarily booking this holiday season. So they're creating, you know, gifts that complement the destination, such as books, cooking books for a trip to Paris, or if it's going to be an adventure trip to Costa Rica, they're packaging all the fun things that they would want to take with them on that trip. For beach vacations that are being planned, likely for the latter part of 2021, families are packing up sunglasses and beach balls and giving that as a family gift this holiday season. So believe it or not, I think people are really focused on when the world opens up again, we're ready to celebrate and spend time with family. Multi-generational, we have a lot of grandparents who want to plan and get all their families together to the extent that they haven't seen each other over the last year. So the gift of travel is very popular right now, but most of that travel is expected to happen in 2021, not the gift where you give and everyone packs up their suitcases and leaves the next day. We see most of the planning taking place later.
Yeah, not a lot of travel the first 2 weeks of January of 2021,
right,
or anything like that. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Always popular.
Yeah, what's popular?
Ski is popular,
all
I will say. So let's just hope there's snow for those skiers.
Yeah, there's an activity that you can do without necessarily being around a bunch of other people. You want social distancing when you're skiing. Thank you. Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors, online at travelbta.com. That's Travel Tuesday. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, GM is looking at a brighter future in military contracts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Most people think of vehicles when they hear the name General Motors, but maybe not for long. A growing military contractor. Let's learn about it. John McElroy is here, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv, based in Detroit. John, what is GM doing, and what is GM trying to do?
Well, a couple of interesting things going on here, Cisco. Number one, GM's got some interesting people on its board of directors with a definite military background. Former executives with Northrop Grumman, with Lockheed Martin. They've got another board member with a background in the CIA. So there's an interest in doing more for the U.S. military. At the same time, the U.S. military really wants to connect with the U.S. auto industry. It recognizes that they can bring manufacturing scale and hence lower costs if they get involved in developing vehicles. So GM raised its hand and said, yeah, you know, we're going to work on one here. And they're coming out with this infantry squad vehicle it's, you know, super off-road, you know, rock crawler, take troops anywhere kind of a thing. That's actually built off the Chevrolet Colorado ZR2, which is a hardcore off-road vehicle to begin with. And something like 90% of all the parts that go on the military vehicle came right off the shelf at GM. So GM gets more manufacturing scale. The U.S. Army gets a much better price.
And is this something that, I mean, it seems like could continue and move into other vehicles as well?
Very possibly. You know, I think GM is sticking its toe in the water in this case, and probably the U.S. military to a degree. So far, the program looks successful. I mean, everything's gone exactly according to schedule. They're doing everything within budget and the like. So, yeah, I mean, if the Army is satisfied and GM recognizes it can make some money at the same time it helps out the country, they've got to be looking at other areas to expand.
Is it, given the fact that you have, well, at least until the pandemic, kind of a movement to urban areas and a lot of people getting rid of their cars, I mean, is this just them being smart and looking for ways to expand beyond the usual consumer?
No, I don't think this has got anything to do with COVID. I mean, this program started several years ago. You know, you just don't flip a switch and start doing this stuff. GM had to build prototype vehicles. It had to undergo testing with the Army. And when the Army liked what it saw, it said, okay, let's put these things into production. Production right now is going to be fairly limited, you know, low volume by automotive standards. But like I said, GM has a keen interest, especially with board of director members with backgrounds in the military. And the U.S. military, I mean, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the military made it very clear to the U.S. auto industry it wanted to connect and do more with them.
Really good insight. Thanks so much. It's really fascinating to see how they are evolving. That is John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast will be available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!